Timothy in the first epistle, and he says in the fourth chapter, and teaching Timothy some instructions, I take up the reading just at verse 11. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. And if I can just share with you for a moment or two, the devote yourself to the public reading. One of the things that we don't do much of, and one of the things that sadly, I think, neglected in seminaries, is the lack of reading of Scripture and the lack of being concerned about it. I think it's terribly important that everyone learn to read. Now, that may sound as if I'm trying to make some sort of announcement that we've got a special reading program. We don't have that, but we need to read the Scriptures, and it is important to read them, and to read them publicly. How do you read? Well, often lots of us, we take up our Bibles sort of in the evening, and we say, Lord, give me a little blessing, please. And because we just flip it open, wherever it opens, Lord, that's where you're going to bless me, we read maybe a verse or two, or if it's the 23rd Psalm, we whip through it rather quickly, and you can tell that by the crack down the middle of the back of your Bible, that's where you usually open it. It's not how to read God's Word. Not at all. You should try to read it all the way through, from Genesis through Revelation. I remember the first time I announced that, a fellow came to me and he said, you know, my dad told me that if you read the Bible through, you go mad. So I guess he was looking at a madman. And we need to understand the reading of the Scriptures. Now, there's a lot of emotional thought, but unless you read the Scripture, you really don't get the gist of what is being said. Anybody can pick anything from any portion of the Scripture and not understand it. And here's the reason. A text taken from its context becomes a pretext. A text taken from its context becomes a pretext. So we can have lots of proof verses, we can have a lot of proof reading, we have a lot of proof, this, that, and the other. But what's the context of the whole thing? It used to be a battle for me to read through one gospel, but now I've got to the place where I can zip into a gospel and read through it just in a short space of time. We need to be able to read all the letter. How many times does your son or daughter or friend or relative of some sort write you a letter and you don't read it all the way through? I was staying in a house recently where the young man was expecting a letter from this girl. Now, she must have been rather a special girl, but boy, he wanted to read that letter, and he was accusing the postman of holding back the letter that she had said on the telephone she'd sent. I don't know why you phone up and say, hey, I wrote to you. Used in my day, you wrote and that was it. Now people write and say, have you got my letter yet? You can say it all on the telephone or you can say it in a letter. But the day came when the letter arrived and I was sitting at the breakfast table with the family, and the letter arrived and he grabbed that letter and went off to his room, shut the door. He was gone an interminable amount of time. And I do remember being that age, and I wouldn't have missed my breakfast for anything. When he eventually emerged, I said, did you read all of it? Four times, was the reply. And it's so curious to me, we'll read a verse or two or three or four, a chapter even, of a letter of Paul's, and we'll say, I've been reading the Scriptures. And I'm sure that's true in the mind of most, but what about the whole of the letter? How do you read novels? I usually start towards the back, do you? About a third the way back. And then if it's worth reading, I go to the front and sort of amble through. I was recently reading a historic autobiography, and it was dry as dust, so I went to the last quarter, couldn't have been more than that, and I read through that and got the gist of how it ended, but my mind was so tweaked with curiosity, and there were so many answers I needed, I went to the middle and started and worked until I got to where I'd been reading. And now my mind was really going, so I went to the... And I worked all the way backwards. I should have been born a Chinese, I could have read, or Japanese, whoever it is that reads backwards, and then I'd have been successful. How do you read? School teachers say that you must read with comprehension. That is, you must read and understand what you're reading so that when you read it, it's meaningful to both you and whoever is listening. But Paul is talking to young Timothy, and he says, Timothy, whatever you do, read publicly so that you can understand and people can understand with you what it is that is being taught. And the reading of scriptures was very important to the Jewish people. Why it isn't so important today, I don't really know. I've just been to some meetings, and two things did not happen in those meetings. One of the things that they managed to do was to pray for the offering and pronounce the benediction, and no other time was there prayer in the meetings. A preacher preached a great and wonderful sermon about the reading of Scripture and how important it was, and no one read the Scriptures. So if it seems laborious and long that we read the Scriptures, it is because, as Paul said to Timothy, it's very necessary to devote yourself to the reading, the public reading of Scripture. There's lots of reasons for that. It isn't that the reader is any better than anybody else. It's simply this, that the reader is charged by God to read the Scripture because God knows, for the most part, the pewster doesn't spend a lot of time reading Scripture. With that in view, will you please turn to the Gospel of Luke? Now I'm going to cheat. Chapter 22. Aren't you relieved? Could have been one. Chapter 22. And because we've come to this very beautiful place where we remember the Lord's death until he come, I do so want to remind you of the situation, the drama, the complications, the teaching, the difficulties, the depression, the elation, the emotions of all that was going on when Jesus came to that first Last Supper. Let's just read about it. Chapter 22 of Luke. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray Jesus unto them. They were glad and covenanted to give him money, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray Jesus unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them and saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they, the disciples, that is, and they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be counted the greatest. And Jesus said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. He was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them, a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter, he followed afar off. May God bless this precious word to our hearts in the moments that we have together this evening. Let's just bow in prayer. Our lovely Lord, we thank thee for all of these things that thou hast recorded in the precious word. How we thank thee, blessed Master, that thy love laid hold on us. How we praise thee that day by day thy sweet voice sounded, saying, Christian, follow me. How we thank thee for that happy day when the transaction was done. We became our Lord's and he became ours forever and forever. How we praise thy name for Calvary. But we get forgetful, Lord. We find our forgetfulness is sometimes leading us into all sorts of wrong places. Help us tonight to be so called into remembrance that we may remember thou art our Lord, thou art our God, thou art on thy throne. Thou dost not change nor alter. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us that we may praise thy name. For Jesus' sake, amen.